Hello, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Did you notice you can earn 0.25 CE credits with this podcast? After listening to this podcast, head on over to dvm360.com/flex and then sign in or register for a free account. Then select the podcast and follow the online prompts to claim your CE.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Hey, we are going to be talking about Ofitrium in dermatology. When, where, and whys of using Duxo S3 topical therapies. I know that's a lot to chat about, but I'm so excited. We want to thank our friend Siva for sponsoring this wonderful podcast. And we got to say a big hello to our friend, Dr. Melissa Hall, dermatologist. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful morning and can't beat. I love talking about topical therapy, so I am in my element. I'm excited.
Yeah. Doesn't get any better than that. Oh, my goodness. So to our listeners, a little bit of information of the one and only Dr. Melissa Hall. She's been exploring her passion for pet medicine for as long as she can remember. Growing up as an LA native, Dr. Hall gave as much of her time as she was able to the Los Angeles Zoo, Natural History Museum, and the Equestrian Center, and many other animal-focused local groups. Wait a minute. So tell me about this. Like, did you always want to be a veterinarian? And then was it always in there with all those things you just did?
Well, it was a little confused at the beginning. So my first memory of what I wanted to be when I grew up was actually a horse. I really was set on being a horse when I grew up. And then I realized that wasn't possible.
Right.
Okay. So then I wanted to take care of the horses. And from there, I realized the closest thing to being a horse would be to be a veterinarian.
Gotcha. Love it. That's adorable, actually. I've never heard that before. So that's a good one.
Family secret there.
Yeah, that's great. So Dr. Hall received her DVM from the University of California, Davis, which led her passion for veterinary dermatology further on through a three-year residency at Animal Dermatologic Clinic in Southern California. And then she went on to become a board-certified dermatologist. And she shares her passion for all aspects of skin and ear disease by lecturing all over the world and training residents. If you haven't heard it, by the way, I'm going to give her a great Uber rating. I sat in your sessions. They're fantastic and practical. So bravo, my friend. And Dr. Hall specializes in treating her allergic skin and ear diseases in dogs and cats. With her experience of practicing and seeing cases both nationally and internationally, Dr. Hall has guided owners to improve the quality of life for their own pets. And we know how important that is, my friend, when we're talking about itchiness and quality of life for our dogs and cats. It's sad to see some of these pet parents so miserable because their animals are up itching and scratching. So, you know, similar to that, those lines, let's talk about some topical therapy. You know, why is topical therapy so important in dermatology?
Well, the beautiful thing about dermatology is it's on the outside. So why not treat it on the outside as well as you're treating it from the inside? And I think in the past, we've gotten so focused with Western medicine of just giving a pill. Here's a pill, here's a shot, call me later. But we're forgetting how important it is to actually treat the outside of the body as well. And that's what dermatology can give us, you know, good shampoo therapy, good mousing therapy, ear cleaning, sprays, ointments, all of the above can help speed the recovery for these pets. It also allows your owners to take ownership of being involved in helping taking care of them as well, and maybe see problems earlier if you have them using topical therapy. You know, when you're treating the skin, remember to treat the actual skin, and that helps us kind of remember the importance.
I love that you said that. It's so true. Whenever I do the derm cases in the room, the clients always ask, what can I do, doc? What can I do to give them some relief? So I love that you were saying that, you know, give them something to do. They really want to be part of the treatment process. So topical therapy would be one of those, right?
Absolutely. And I firmly believe that there is nothing faster and more effective than a good bath. You know, that's the first thing when owners call me. Usually it's at Friday night, right before closing. What do? My dog's been itchy. My cat's uncomfortable. If the cat will allow a bath, great. But bathing your dog, cool water, quality shampoo can do huge to make the skin look better, feel better, less itchy, all of the above. So right. Nothing works faster than topical therapy.
Absolutely. And more zoomies right after that.
Exactly. Running around and the animal's happy. And, right. You know, smell is a huge important aspect of our dermatology cases. And it's amazing how much a bad odor can affect that human-animal bond. Yeah. So a good bath, suddenly your pet feels better, smells better. You're able to give them hugs and loves and kisses. And everyone feels better, both the animal and the human.
Absolutely. And more specifically, tell me a little bit about Ofitrium and how does it work?
So Ofitrium is actually a chemical, it's an ingredient that we've actually known about for centuries. You know, they talk about this root of a specific plant, the Japanese mondo plant, grass plant. And it's been known in Chinese medicine to be used for a whole host of many different ailments. So Eastern medicine has been using this plant for years. And what we have found on the, you know, medicine side of it is that Ofitrium has multiple different properties that help soothe the skin. So at SIVA, they're the first company that was able to bring this product into the veterinary side. It has been available in many different human topical products for a while now. And what they've been able to show is that Ofitrium works by repairing the epidermal barrier. So if you've ever gone to a dermatology talk, we always like to talk about the epidermal barrier and what that is. And that's basically one of the functions of the skin is to keep the outside out and the inside in. And we know with skin diseases, that barrier gets messed up. It's not working as well. Suddenly, your nice brick and mortar wall has holes in it. And that means you're going to get more of the outside coming in, creating more inflammation, more problems. And so Ofitrium helps normalize that, getting it back to a healthy state. It reduces inflammation in the skin as well, which is something that we see with a whole host of different dermatological diseases, but most specifically with allergies. It also does a really cool thing by helping normalize the cutaneous microbiome. And that's the other big kind of hot topic that you hear a lot with derm these days. I think we got jealous that the internal medicine people kept talking about the gut microbiome and we wanted to have our own, and we do. So there's a really beautiful, diverse population of bacteria and yeast that are on our skin at all times in low numbers. But we know with derm diseases, allergies, itching, and autoimmune diseases, we can start seeing this dysbiosis. And we're starting to see increase in proliferation of the pathogenic bacteria and yeast, your Staphylococcus and your Malassezia and your Pseudomonas. And Ofitrium helps kind of shift that cutaneous microbiome back to a more diverse place. It reduces the amount of biofilms, which is another big hot topic in derm. And it'll help kind of also treat the infections that we see that often go hand in hand with underlying dermatological conditions. So this one product can do three things at the same time. And that's awesome. There's nothing that does all three that we often see going on with our derm cases.
So when you look at Ofitrium compared to other topical therapies, I know you touched on a little bit. So how is it specifically different from some of the other modalities that are out there for topical therapy?
Well, in the past, our topical therapies have only really been focused on one aspect of those three kind of structures that I just talked about. So the three being, again, your epidermal barrier function, your cutaneous microbiome, and then the cutaneous inflammation. So in the past, we've used things like antihistamines or steroids to help with inflammation, but it's not going to help the epidermal barrier function or the microbiome. We've used topicals that have ceramides to help with the epidermal barrier, but it's not going to do anything for inflammation or infection. And then finally, we'll often use things like topical antiseptics and chlorhexidines and azoles and those various products to help treat the infection, but it's not going to do anything for the other two. So now we have this one ingredient that has been maximized to its full potential to really hit on three different aspects. When in the past, we always had to do one or do combo therapies. And, you know, when you start adding in more active ingredients into a product, you might get more potential sensitization and contact reactions. So it's nice to kind of pare things back down and find one active ingredient that can really carry a lot of weight when it comes to our derm cases.
It's like it does multimodal therapy within one therapy, it sounds like. Right?
Absolutely. And that's awesome because the one thing I often talk about when I give lectures, derm is frustrating. We all know that. I joke that I don't cure anything. I just manage it. But sometimes it can be very difficult to manage these diseases. And it's worse when we only focus on one aspect. So if we have an itchy dog and all we're doing is giving Cytopoint or Apoquil and not dealing with the epidermal barrier function or the cutaneous microbiome, we're going to see failures. And of course, we know one failure, your client's going to be okay with. Two fails, they're going to get a little bit more frustrated. By the third time, they're shopping around for another veterinarian. Yeah. You know, so having a product that does all three makes for me a happier clinician, but it also makes for our clients to be happier as well, because it also makes them feel like they're having to do less of column A, column B, column C, and one thing to really kind of attack in many different areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And you briefly mentioned azoles, and are azoles still necessary for treating malassezia, and when do you use them?
So there's always going to be a time that we're going to need azole therapy for our antifungal treatments. But is it acutely necessary? Are they always necessary? Not necessarily. So we have studies that have showed that chlorhexidine by itself can actually treat malassezia dermatitis, that you don't need to have the extra azole in there. And why this is now kind of coming to a head is that just like we've seen with our bacteria, our staphylococcus, there is now more and more reports of malassezia and candida being inherently resistant to azoles. And it's basically because we've maybe used them a little bit too much, but we can absolutely see resistant patterns. So the same kind of idea that comes with reserving antibiotics for when we absolutely need them, we really need to start considering that same approach when it comes to azole therapy and malassezia dermatitis or even malassezia otitis, right? So I usually try now to start treatment without using an azole. And when we find that that still isn't enough, like we've all had the super greasy shih tzu that is just more yeast than dog, that animal does usually need the systemic therapy or an added azole into a topical product.
And what about, I know now there's a lot of research showing about the point, correct me if I'm wrong, 2.3% or higher chlorhexidine that can also have antifungal properties. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Basically, the chlorhexidine by itself, a 3% or higher, can absolutely help kind of reduce the total amount of yeast carriage on the skin and help treat the malassezia.
Because that's what I like about the Duxo, you know, S3 is that it has that in there. And again, when you're talking about multimodal therapy, and it's doing all these properties, plus what we were just talking about with Ophitrium in there. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on that as a dermatologist. When you send that home, it's kind of doing a lot of things at once, it sounds like, right?
Absolutely. And I like to now try to let that work by itself before adding in extra systemic therapies and therefore potential more adverse events.
So me as a general practitioner, then would you say, all right, Adam, this is where I would use just the shampoo therapy alone versus me trying to reach for, you know, we want to go for that azole or some sort of antimicrobial therapy. Would there be, you know, some guidelines that you would provide?
I would say sometimes it depends on the case. You know, what it really comes down to is first, I kind of like to take a look at the animal in question. And maybe we just have a little bit of yeast at the paws. That's a common area, right? Your dog is licking the paws. You get in between the toes. You have a little bit of erythema there. You do your cytology because everybody's doing their cytologies on all their derm cases. And you see maybe 2 or 3 malassezia per oil immersion field. That's one that I'm going to probably say, okay, let's try the topical therapy first. Let's give that 2-3 weeks, call, check in. How are you doing? If the owner says, you know what, I'm not seeing any difference, I'm not happy with how we're doing, then absolutely advance to an azole at that time. versus, like I mentioned earlier, you have a super greasy shih tzu that you do cytology on, and all you see is just too numerous to count yeast. That is a dog that I am going to reach for a systemic azole to help kind of cut some of that down. And in fact, in those particular cases, you often will need a little bit of a steroid as well to reduce the inflammation. So you kind of have to take each case a little bit differently and kind of figure out where you need to be. But I always kind of tell the owners and kind of figure out what they want to do. You know, I've got some clients that just want a pill for everything. And you almost feel like, oh, I almost need like a placebo to give you just to make you feel like you're giving the pill. Whereas you have other clients, and a lot more of my clients now in Southern California, that don't want to use any systemic therapy. And so topical is where I start with.
And what's the newer protocol for Duxo S3 products that allow for bathing with shampoo once every how many weeks? And is there an application of the mousse thereafter? What does that look like?
Yeah, so when they launched the new Duxo S3 line, they actually did a comparison study to the older recommendation, which was bathing once weekly, followed by two moussing of the products, and compared that efficacy-wise to bathing every 3 weeks and moussing two times the first week and three times each following week. And they've actually found, and this was looking at dogs with allergic dermatitis using the Calm line. So we'll talk a little bit about how there's a different kind of, there's a couple of different, four different lines of therapy that have the Ofitrium product in it. But the Calm has the highest amount of Ofitrium. All right. So this is the one that we're going to use for allergic cases. And what they found is that the dogs that were getting bathed weekly and moussed twice a week actually itched more than the ones that were bathed every 3 weeks and moussed two to three times a week. Well, why is that so important? Well, one of the things that clients kind of look at you funny when you say, I want you to bathe two, three times a week. No one has time for that, you know, this day and age. And if you have a big dog, bathing like a Great Pyrenees could take 1 hour just to do the bath and then an additional 2 days just to dry the dog. And so now having this new formulation of protocol of bathing every 3 weeks and using the mousse in between the bath, where I tell clients it's the benefit of the bath without a wet dog. You know, you still can hit those areas. It's very easy to, I tell people, apply the foam to your hands and work it in through the hair. You do a little massage. Your dog likes it. Your cat loves it. You also get that kind of added stress relief of petting your animal for a little bit. And you can see just as good a success. So are there times that as a dermatologist, I'm still recommending to bathe weekly? You absolutely can. That is safe. It's not that you can't use the product, the bathing product, more frequently. It's that you don't necessarily need to, which gives your client a little bit more freedom and feeling like it's less of a chore to take care of their pet.
I like that. And the Duxo 3 products, they're free from several ingredients that I know some people are curious about, such as sulfates and what other ones out there?
Soaps, parabens, nanoparticles. You know, it's a very clean product line. Really what we've kind of gotten to as humans, where we want our own shampoos and bathing products to be free of these things that can not only be environmentally impactful, but also affect us as well. Right. So they've designed this line, and they also did a beautiful fragrance with it. To me, it smells a little bit like a Hawaiian holiday, because I think it reminds me of sunscreen. It's the vanilla coconut. So relaxing on a beach type of moment that the clients really enjoy. And all of their studies kind of prior and after the launch of these products show an incredibly high client satisfaction. You know, never have I seen client satisfactions being 80, 90, 100% with the protocol and with the products themselves. So they really did a beautiful job at really trying to figure out what we as vets wanted, a product that works in multiple different aspects, and then also what clients wanted that they enjoyed using on their pet.
Right. Yeah. It's nice to hear. I've never heard that before. Yeah. Usually it's not as high satisfaction. So that's very high.
Very low.
That's
yeah.
Really good. Yep. And so walk us through briefly, there's four of them. There's Calm, Pio, 7 Care. They all contain Ofitrium, but you talked earlier about the highest concentration of the active ingredient Ofitrium is in
Calm.
Calm.
So
okay.
The other beautiful thing that Siva did was to make this easier. They paired each line with a color. So we start with calm. Calm is pink and it has the highest amount of Ophitrium. So for this, I like to think about using it for our itchy dogs, our inflamed skin dogs. It has both the shampoo and the mousse that's readily available. You can get on any areas. You can use this on cats too. So I don't want to forget cats. And actually, Siva has also done some beautiful studies looking at the success of using the products on cats. Yes, you may not want to bathe your cat, but you could absolutely mousse them with this product as well. The next one is going to be your Duxo Pio. So the S3 Pio, it's going to be your orange line. It has chlorhexidine. So that's the one with the 3% chlorhexidine. That is going to be for your infections. If it be pyodermas or the malassezia, it has the shampoo, it has the mousse, and it also has a pad product as well. So you can use to wipe. I like to use the pads every single bulldog, brachiocephalic dog for me goes home with their own endless supply of pads because you're wiping in the folds, you're getting into the hard to reach, more kind of smaller areas. Then we have the Duxo Seb line. That's the green one. And this one has your Ophitrium, but it also has sebolliance in it, which is an additional ingredient that helps break down scale on the skin. So this is for your seborrheic cases. So anytime that you have the flaky animals, crusty animals, it's going to be a good shampoo for you. Maybe you just have an overweight cat that finds it difficult to groom. The mousse would be a great product on that animal to help break up the scale. The last line they have, which is a darker blue color, is going to be the care line. And that's just a small amount of Ophitrium, and it only is the shampoo for that one. And that's just for your basic grooming. Maybe you have a client that your dog that has a pet that doesn't have derm problems. I don't even know what that looks like, but I'm sure it's out there. That's a great product when they say, what should I use to shampoo? Because it can be very overwhelming as a client to go to a pet store and there's everything from Paul Mitchell to Vets Best, and it gets really confusing. And they just want a product that can clean the animal, that feels good on their skin, that's easy to use. And that's where our care is going to come in.
Great description. And to summarize to our listeners, so we talked about Ophitrium, and it works on those three barriers that we were just talking about, the microbiological skin barrier, immunological skin barrier, and physical skin barrier. How did I do, Dr. Hall? Did I do it right?
Perfect. You did wonderful. Yes. We're taking residents.
There you go. Perfect. I love learning about derm. So excellent. Any final thoughts as we close out the session?
No, I mean, I think I would just say, you know, to sum it up, don't forget the skin. Definitely always talk to your clients. And I know it's after a long appointment in a short amount of time. I know no one has a lot of time to talk about skin. Making sure that you remember the topical therapy. Don't do it as an afterthought. Think of it earlier on in the treatment plan. And I think you're going to have a lot happier clients because, again, like I said, the success with these products are very high and the clients really do like them a lot.
Absolutely. Dr. Melissa Hall, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for your insight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you to our friends at Siva for sponsoring this podcast. Don't forget to answer those questions to get your 0.25 CE credits on. And also rate this podcast, as always, helps us out significantly as we continue to grow and develop the Vet Blast podcast, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to claim your CE credit hour for listening to this podcast via dvm360.com/flex, where you can register or log into your free account. Then select the CE podcast and follow the online prompts. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And we hope to see you soon. And remember to always stay pawsome.